Hello, hello. This is George Corliss.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And you're listening to Good Growing with the Garden Gal, and we're really excited about having Teresa Williams with us once again on Strong Tower Radio today. And Teresa, you come all the way across town. We're taping on the first day of spring, and you can't beat that with a stick.
No, that is fantastic.
And the weather's been fairly good. A little cold still, but it's been fairly well, nice and sunny.
Yes. Sunny, our snow is starting to leave. A lot of it has left.
Yes.
I think everybody, you know, even if you're a snow enthusiast, you can still go out to the ski areas and these other places. There's plenty of places.
They got snow.
Yeah, to do those types of things with. And I think ice fishing lasted for 5 months this year, and I don't think the guys, they really extolled in that. They appreciated that very much. So we're glad you're along for the ride today. We're going to be talking about things to do this month, pruning fruit, our fruit trees, and then in the know, optimizing our fruit tree health. And at the end of the program, we're going to talk about the crop of the month, which is raspberries and blackberries, and some of my favorites. So let's get started with a word of prayer. Jelaine, would you favor us with that?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you that you love us so much and you provide for us and take care of us in so many ways. And we just pray that you'd bless this program. And we're thankful, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to work in our yards, gardens, and have fruit orchards or whatever it may be. And we just pray that you'd bless this information, that it will be helpful to people as they get ready in this spring to plant a garden. We ask this in your name. Amen.
And if you have never tuned in to Good Growing with the Garden Gal, Teresa Williams is with us, and she is from the Wexford Conservation District. Conversation District.
We like to talk, too, but we're really about conversation.
So, Teresa, why don't you tell us about who you are and a little bit about what you do?
I'm the executive director currently for the Wexford Conservation District, and in that role, I do all kinds of things, but the one I think your listeners would be most interested in is every year we put on a series of at least 10 workshops for people who want to grow food, and we teach them everything we can about how to raise their own food.
And food is yummy, and I think everybody appreciates that as they go through there. And most people who plant gardens every year are super excited when March, April starts jumping around here. And just to see the soil again, and hopefully they've been doing things throughout the fall and the winter to help their garden to be the best that it could be. I sound like a Marine or an Army, or was that Navy? Be the best you can be?
Oh, I'm no, it's for, Army.
Is that Army?
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know either. And so we're really excited about that. Now, pruning fruit trees. A lot of times, Teresa, you see the fruit trees that are at a lot of the bigger box stores and different things like that. And a lot of the greenhouses now have those. You really needed to plant those in the fall, didn't you? Is now a good time to plant?
In our area, spring is the better choice.
It's a better. Why is that?
Because in our area, the winters are harsh enough that if those trees don't have the chance to get their roots well established, they can actually dry out through the winter winds. So up here in our area, spring planting is better.
And when you're talking about pruning then, how long do they need to actually be in the ground before you actually prune them back?
You can prune them before you even put them in the ground or the
really?
Same day. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's great that we're doing this on the first day of spring because that's my annual first day of spring ritual is pruning those fruit trees. It's a fantastic time, a great day to get outside and celebrate the coming growing season. And we do recommend that when you get your trees, before you even put them in the ground or the day that you put them in the ground, you start a pruning program.
You start a pruning program. Can you explain that?
Yeah. If with a fruit tree, you want to accomplish a couple things with pruning. And the first is to create a good scaffold that can bear the weight of the fruit. Fruit's heavy.
What do you mean?
Like a strong arm structure. You want to create a strong structure that can carry the weight of all that ripe fruit. Weak branches, they'll break. So we want to concentrate growth on a few strong, we call them scaffold limbs. If you think of scaffolding in a building sense, Same concept. We want to build that scaffold that's strong. And that's what you do beginning with your first year. And for the first 3 years of that tree's life, you're concentrating on getting that scaffold. And the other things that you can accomplish with pruning is if you want to keep your tree very small to a manageable size, pruning can do that. You also want to prune heavily enough so that there's good light penetration and there's good air penetration to all of those branches. And the last thing you can think about with pruning is when the tree's a little bit older, you prune to encourage fruit bearing.
So let me just, I'm trying to visualize this in my head. So I've got a fruit tree, and you know, as new branches are coming out, I might want to cut them because they're just small and I don't want them. I want the ones that are already established that are growing bigger.
Well, what you want to do, let's start with planting time and go through a whole program,
okay,
if that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So planting time, I'm going to assume that you're getting a tree about 5 feet tall. Not a huge tree, not a real tiny tree, but something about 5 feet tall. When you get that tree, it's going to have a lot of side branches, and it might have some tall, rangy growth. I'm going to suggest that you choose 4 side branches to keep that you can either train to have a flat angle to them so that the branches are close to parallel to the ground, or that already are. Because we want like a branch going to the north, one to the south, one to the east, one to the west. And we want to get that branch angle as flat out as we can, because those wide angles are strong angles. Anytime when you have a really narrow branch angle, that's a weak angle. It's going to be a weak point in the tree and might be subject to breaking.
Okay.
Now, a question for you. My wife comes from the Sparta, Michigan area.
The fruit belt.
The fruit belt. And the trees down there are trimmed a lot different than the trees up here. And they actually look like Christmas trees in a lot of different senses. As I'm going through, driving to her old home where her kids and her grandkids are still from, I'm always asking, are those peach trees? Are those apple trees? Are they, you know, what kind of trees are they? And most of them are apple trees, and they look just like Christmas trees.
Yeah.
But up here they don't. Is that a new way to trim back growth, or how does that work?
It depends a bit on what type of tree it is. Apple trees are pruned to something we call a central leader system, and that's that pyramid shape that you're talking about, because the tree's natural growth habit is to send up a strong, tall central leader. A lot of our fruit trees up here in the northwest part of the state are cherry trees, and cherry trees we prune to something called an open vase arrangement, because the tree's natural growth habits are different for trees that have a pit in them, like a cherry, a plum, or peach, versus the trees that have seeds in them, like an apple or a pear. Those are called pome fruits, and the pome fruits have that strong central leader.
Now, Teresa, tell me also, I notice sometimes there's like a white paint at the base of the tree.
Yeah.
Other times there's like a little curlicue white thing that goes along. What is that?
It's two parts. The white is to prevent something called sun scald disease. And what happens in the wintertime when we have snow cover, the sunlight, when it hits the snow, in those few rare blessed days when we have sunshine in the winter, it heats up it reflects off the snow onto the trunk of the tree, warms up the south side of the tree, sometimes the west side of the tree. And when that trunk warms up, the bark expands. And then we get nighttime and it suddenly contracts. And it's that swelling and contracting that can cause the bark of the tree to split and be an entry point for disease and other organisms. So if you paint the trunks of the tree white, or you put a white guard on them, white does not absorb heat the way the dark color of a trunk of a tree does. So that white prevents that uneven heating and cooling of the trunk, and it prevents the trunk from splitting.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is the reason why the farmers actually mow underneath the trees for the most part, or they must have poisoned the grass so it's kind of bare underneath there?
The reason is they want the trees to get the benefit of all the water and all the nutrients, and they don't want to feed other things that aren't fruit, like grass or weeds, and that would be why.
Now, what about rodents?
That's the spiral wraps that you were talking about. That's rodent protection. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it, and it's the way I like, because you can use it on larger trees, is you paint the trunk of the tree in the fall with a mixture that's half water, half white latex, not oil. So a 50-50 mixture of water and white latex paint, paint that on the trunk, and then buy a section of something called hardware cloth, which is like huge mosquito screening made out of wire. Some of our listeners might know what hardware cloth is, and others might be a new term to them. And if you make basically a cylinder of hardware cloth around the tree, giving it a few inches on each side of the trunk, that will prevent it from rodents. But if you're a backyard grower, you really need to do something about those rodents, because they can girdle a fruit tree over winter and kill it.
So the what did you call the?
Hardware cloth.
Hardware cloth. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I've got this hardware cloth. I make mm-hmm. a circle so it can
make
go.
Make a tube out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a 4 foot tall
tube. I guess I'm
taking
a piece of cloth.
Yeah, it's very stiff. It's wire. And it's, okay. You want it to be about 4 feet tall.
Okay, so it's going to go around, kind of like putting chicken wire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm envisioning.
Yeah.
It's hardware cloth.
It's only hardware cloth, because chicken wire the rodents can get through.
Okay, so circular around.
Right.
Okay.
It's a tube around the trunk of the tree.
Got it.
And you can hold it closed with wire.
Just now,
you can tell I don't know much about this.
Talk about cows, you do, or corn.
Yeah, that's a little different. A little.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm George Corliss.
I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams.
And we're talking to her today. She's the garden gal, and good growing with the garden gal. Teresa, all of these things really fascinate me. A lot of times you see some of these new homes being put into these areas in which there was an orchard around an old farmhouse.
Yes.
And they're trying to bring back those old orchards.
Uh-huh.
Wow, what a job that is.
It is a big job, but it can be done with apple trees in particular.
Let's talk about that just
sure.
a little bit. How would they go? Okay, so they're starting right from scratch. You got a lot of dead growth, but you uh-huh. got apples that are huge in the fall on one side of the tree, and then on the other side of the tree there's nothing. Another side there's just a little bit of green growth. What do you do?
Well, a lot of these trees haven't been pruned for many years, so we have to do a pretty drastic pruning job. And the pruning is drastic enough that anticipate 3 years before you get fruit. What you need to do is take that tree down to about 3 or 4 limbs and shorten them. So basically you're going to look like you killed the tree, because you've got your main trunk and you might have 3 or 4 short limbs growing off.
And they could be pretty thick limbs.
They could
time.
Be pretty thick limbs. And you take it back to that. And that's pretty shocking to the tree, so you know that. But that's what you want to do first here. And then in the summer, it will produce a kind of a sprout called a water sprout, and they're very easy to recognize because they grow straight up on the tree. You don't want to keep those water sprouts. They're weak. So the first year, now is a great time, take that tree back to just a few arms and the trunk. In the summer, then you remove those water sprouts as they come out. The second spring, you're going to select some of the branches off of those big heavy limbs to keep to be your bearing branches. And again, we're looking for the same thing as I said earlier. You want nice wide angles. You want them spaced out so that there's good penetration by sunlight, good penetration by the circulating air. And then about the third year, you're going to do more thinning. And of course, it goes without saying, anything that's dead, you take out. Branches that are crossing over each other, take those out. Anything that looks like it might be diseased, take those out as well.
Now, a couple of things, Teresa. What about wound paint? Because when you're taking, you're just cutting and hacking.
Yeah.
I remember, especially if you got like an old flower growth, like with roses and some other things, there's another thing you usually cut back quite well mm-hmm. if you're trying to get them back. Sometimes you're afraid to cut back so much. But do you use wound paint on some of those fruit trees like that?
Only in very rare circumstances. The only time, because the tree will form callus wood over that. It
okay.
has a way to take care of that. The only time I would recommend wound paint is if you have to do some summer pruning, and it's the time of the year when there might be fungal spores around. If you immediately, you set down your pruning tool and you immediately daub it with latex paint is just fine. You don't need anything special. that would be the only time I would recommend, is if you find yourself in a situation where you have to prune in the summer and you're concerned about those fungal diseases entering the wounds.
Teresa, what about washing your pruning utensils, especially when it comes maybe to some of the older growth, if you're trying to bring back some of those old orchards? Because a lot of times you're not going to use pruning shears. You're going to have to use a chainsaw in some of those instances. Mm-hmm. How do you wash the utensils so you're not spreading disease from one tree to another?
Well, in between trees, it's good to daub it with isopropyl alcohol. And I recommend the alcohol as opposed to, say, bleach, because bleach can be corrosive on your metal tools, and you don't want to harm the metal. So isopropyl alcohol, just like you'd get in any drugstore, is fine.
You, so just, you can just
put it on a rag and daub it on.
Okay. Yep. That's no big deal with that. That's pretty easy.
And you can do that between trees. Well, I would always recommend between trees, but if you're pruning a tree that you know has disease, mm-hmm. and you're pruning out a diseased limb, also sanitize your tool after you make a cut on a diseased limb.
Now, when we get all done with the pruning, how tall should the tree be to keep it the most manageable for everybody?
Well, it depends on how much you like to climb ladders.
Oh,
So you can keep a fruit tree to 5 or 6 feet, no matter what kind of rootstock it's on, whether it's on a dwarf rootstock or a standard rootstock. It's all about the pruning. And I would recommend to homeowners to do that, to keep their trees nice and short, because it's difficult to manage a fruit tree well if you have to do work on a ladder. It really is.
Well, I remember growing up, we had, apple trees in our yard, but they were just, apple trees growing. And I was from the city, so I lived in this, suburbia. I didn't know anything about gardening . Anyways, I move up here and I go by, oh, those are apple trees. I'm looking, they're apple trees. They're like, 5 feet tall. I'm thinking of something that's twice as high or even higher, mm-hmm. that would be apple trees, because we were kids. We'd climb up the tree and, get... And so I'm just like, really? Those are apple trees?
Yeah, standard apple trees will grow to 25 to 30 feet tall, no problem. But it's all about pruning. If you want to keep them short, very manageable, you can. You just have to prune that.
And doesn't then pruning help the fruit to, bear fruit better? No?
Yeah. Yes, it can. That has to do a little bit with recognizing what's fruiting wood and what is just vegetative wood, growth wood. And on our peach trees, they set blossoms and fruit on wood that is 1 year old. On all of our other fruit trees, the wood has to be between about 2 and 6 years old before it.
So an apple tree, a brand new apple tree, is not going to give you fruit.
No new fruit tree usually is. But when you prune, like if you're pruning a peach, you want to make sure you leave behind a lot of wood that is 1 year old, because that's where you're going to get your peaches, is on that 1 year old wood. On our apples, pears, plums, cherries, it's going to be on wood that's at least 2 years old where the blossom buds are going to come out.
Okay.
That's really exciting. And folks, make sure you give us a call or email us at george@strongtowerradio.org or jelaine@strongtowerradio.org. Give us a couple of your stories about some of your pruning techniques, and maybe you've done this in the past and you can kind of let us know how it's going, and maybe you could even share some of your harvest with us. That would be okay, wouldn't it, you guys? Hey, stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about optimizing fruit tree health in our next segment. So stay tuned.